Hey, this is Michael Hutchinson, and you're listening to the Front Row Podcast.
Welcome to episode 33 of the Front Row Podcast. Today I have Leah Hextall and Dave Turnbull. My next guest made history as the first woman to call a national broadcast NHL game and did the same thing with the NCAA final in 2019. Brandon's Manitoba's Leah Hextall, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, Don, thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be here.
You were the first woman to call a national broadcast and also at NCAA. What do those accomplishments mean to you?
Well, Don, that's a really great question. So back in last March now, almost a full year, and it seems almost like a world ago because of what we've gone through here as a society with the pandemic, but we became, as a all-female broadcast team, myself, Cassie Campbell-Pascal, and Christine Simpson in front of the camera, we called Calgary and Vegas back on March 8th of 2020. We became the first women to do so for an NHL game on national television. So, you know, when you think about that, and you think that the NHL is over 100 years old, and for the first time for a woman to be calling play-by-play for a national broadcast, you know, you almost think to yourself, why did it take so long for it to happen? But it also makes it all that more special that your voice was the one associated with that moment and really what it does, and including with the NCAA as well, being the first woman to call the tournament, the Division I tournament for ESPN. What that does is just basically it gives a whole new generation of young girls and young boys who are going to grow up now, hopefully knowing that hearing a female voice calling hockey is just going to be more of a norm than something that happens every once in a while. So we're not there yet. We still have to get that woman into a full-time position, not just in hockey, but I think in all professional sports across the board. But we also have to find the right person and the right people to do so, because, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, calling play-by-play. So I've been broadcasting now for about 17 years. I have a love of hockey, and you know, you mesh those two together and hopefully there'll be some more opportunities coming down the road. But it was a really special moment. It was a ton of fun, and I'm looking forward to hockey getting back to normal, so hopefully getting a few more opportunities when we don't have such a condensed schedule.
Yeah, with what's going on, it's hard to do that kind of stuff, right, with traveling and stuff.
Absolutely. So, you know, as everybody's trying to be safe, so yeah. You want to have as little as people as possible inside rinks. And so everybody's doing their part right now, which is the right thing to do. So fingers crossed that next season we'll have a full 82 game season and we'll be able to go back into the rinks full time and return to a bit of normal.
Yeah. You talked about sexism and social justice issues in sports world. What do you think is the correct current state of sexism in the sports world?
Well, you know, the first thing I can say is that in my profession as a broadcaster and female in what was, you know, really a dominated profession, the game has been very kind to me and the industry has, you know, been quite good to me. But unfortunately, I think especially now, you know, in 2020, where it seems that the conversation has started more and more and people are more willing to talk about it than they did in the past. In the past, if something happened or occurred, you know, from my perspective, you felt that you couldn't really say much because if you said something, then you were deemed to be difficult or it could stop you from getting a job. And it really did. You really had to be careful. And so therefore you had to tolerate a lot of things. As I've said, you had to go along to get along. And you knew that if you came out and said certain things against certain people about inappropriate comments or behavior, that, you know, quite frankly, it could really stall your career. And you don't want that to happen as a broadcaster in such a competitive industry. But nowadays, I feel that first and foremost is that, you know, I think the culture has just changed so much and people are much more educated about what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And that's the key to me, is that we just keep educating people about what they can say, what is acceptable to do. It's sometimes sad that we have to do that, but we have to remember that different people come from different generations and times change and it's all about progress. And I really actually think when it comes to, you know, the word sexism, I don't see that as much of a problem. What I really look at, Don, is the fact that I want to see female sport represented more. And that's where I think we really need to push forward. You know, right now, 99% of sports coverage, and I'm a media member, so it's on me as well, all we do is talk about the male sports. And women are participating in sports every single day. And we have to make more room to talk about it, because if we don't, and if we don't show female sports, then it's never going to get any better. So that's where I'd like to see us really kind of push right now in the industry to make that situation more viable for women to make a living off of playing professional sports the way the men do.
Yeah, it's like, because like the the National Women's Basketball League is growing. The NHL, like the NWHL, is growing too. Like the, you call the season, the broadcast for the NWHL this past year?
Yeah, so I called for the Canadian Women's Hockey League, which unfortunately folded its tent a couple of years ago. But as you're alluding to here, Don, is that the reason they did so is because they formed the PWHPA, which is the Professional Women's Hockey Player Association, and that has 200 and some plus of the best women in the world. And what they're trying to do is get an infrastructure to be like the WNBA that has been so successful. I mean, we're talking about women who now get paid. They have their national championships and their playoffs and their season on ESPN, which is the largest sports network in the world. The progress that's been done there is unbelievable. So it would be really great, and what we all have our fingers crossed for is a Women's National Hockey League, so that it can have the same infrastructure behind it and build the same way the WNBA did, and eventually have that platform for women to play the game professionally.
All right, so I won't mind like going to in the women's hockey or women's basketball league, because it's coming a long way from its start. So hopefully it gains more ground.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting to me, because when you look at the WNBA, though, what people have to understand is that was really ownership within NBA teams being willing to give a certain percentage of their revenue in order to get the league up and going. And that's what has to happen in order for us to create a Women's National Hockey League. It's going to definitely have to be a partnership. But as we saw, Don, and I'm not sure if you managed to see those press releases over the last week from the PWHPA, but they've have two partnerships now, one with the New York Rangers and one with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that's a huge move, because they're each going to play a game at MSG and then at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto later on in this year. And for these women, what that does is give them so much exposure, because now you have the Rangers and the Leafs pushing these games and access to their fan bases, access to their corporate sponsorship. And this is such an opportunity. And, you know, so we have two of 31 teams in partnership with the women's game now. So let's hope that we can get the others on board, and away we go, and eventually maybe have every single team in a partnership with the women's game. And then hopefully that way that might get us closer to having that WNHL one day.
Yes, like hopefully, yeah, hopefully the sports for women grow over the years. Your cousin Ron Hextall became the GM of Pittsburgh.
He did.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on that?
Go ahead, Don. What were you going to ask me before I cut you off there?
What's your thoughts about Ron Hextall being the GM of Pittsburgh?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where it kind of shocks you a little bit, because, you know, in my lifetime, and for those who maybe don't know, Ron played, he was a goaltender for the Flyers, and he was a pretty well-known goaltender for the Flyers, and obviously they have such, you know, a rivalry with the Pittsburgh Penguins, as, you know, it's the Battle of Pennsylvania whenever they play each other. So, you know, Ron, when you grow up as a Flyers fan, as I did, because Ron was playing throughout almost all of my childhood, you know, it's hard to all of a sudden go, oh, okay, so now it's the Penguins, you know. So now not cheering as much for the Flyers as we are for the Penguins, because Ron got the job as GM. But, you know, it's interesting because Ron's dad actually played for the Pittsburgh Penguins, my Uncle Brian. So Ron actually spent much of his childhood in Pittsburgh. And Jim Rutherford, who was the previous GM, was the goaltender at the time on his dad's team. And really, when Ron became a goalie, Jim Rutherford was a really big influence into that. Ron used to be able to go to the practices, and he would sit behind the net and watch Jim Jim Rutherford do his thing. And, you know, Ron really spoke about that when he was introduced as the Penguins GM, because he has such great respect for Jim Rutherford, and just not only as a general manager, but as a player back in the day and the way he treated him as a kid. So it's really exciting to see Ron back in the game, back in the GM role. And, you know, they've got some work to do there in Pittsburgh. But when you have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang and some others of that leadership group, hopefully they can start building some prospects up and get that team to be a champion again at some point.
Yes, I met Ron back in 2011 at the NHL draft.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
So he was super nice. And
I was going to ask you, was he nice to you? If not, I'll have to give him, you know, give him heck about that.
Yeah, he was great about it, so.
Great, great. So are you, so Don, what's your team? Who's your team? Who are you a big fan of?
The Jets. My secondary team is the Senators.
Ah, okay. How did the Senators become your secondary team?
I got onto the Senators between when the original Jets left until the Jets came back.
Got it. Yes, a lot of people had to find a team in that time period, and they still have love and affection for them because there were so many years there where we didn't have hockey here in Manitoba within an NHL team. So that's great.
Yeah, like a lot of people in my generation where it's like you're born in Winnipeg, is like you had to find a second team. So that's why you see lots of different jerseys at the arena downtown.
Yeah, so you must have been torn a little bit then yesterday because the Jets were playing the Sens.
Yeah, I am. And yeah, so the Senators are not having a good season this year, so.
No, but you know what? They're building and they're going to be pretty good. They've got some great young talent coming up. So at some point, you might have really two good teams that you cheer for. So that's great for you.
Yes, I don't know what I would do if it becomes a final.
No, I can understand that. I can understand being pulled in different directions.
Wait, I was like, as a Winnipeg, I'd be like, come on, Jets. A part of me is like, I wanted the Sens to win, so.
Well, hopefully, you know, I don't think you're ever going to have to worry about that for some time now, but you never know what might happen down the road.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And
no problem. I've really enjoyed this, Don. Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, thank you. Have a nice
day. All right, you take care of yourself.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
This show is brought to you by Esdaile Printing. For nearly 40 years, Esdaile has been your source for banners, decals, signs, and your company needs. Check them out at 207 DeBatt Street in Winnipeg or online at esdaileprinting.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Esdaile Printing or on Facebook.
I'm here with Dave Turnbull, and welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me again. Always a pleasure.
Did you watch the Jets game last night?
No, that one was too late for me. These the late games don't gel well with my schedule. I have to get up super early. So obviously being having to play out west quite a bit this year, I'm missing quite a few of their games.
Yes, and did you watch? See the two outdoor games they had at Lake Tahoe?
Well, I definitely watched the highlights of that one. Pretty crazy. So here's my take on the whole outdoor thing. I haven't really been a fan of them lately because, I mean, I don't know. It's not the same hockey. When you play them as a regular season game and there's points on the line, I think it's kind of silly because the game just changes so much. That being said, when you can do it against a backdrop like Lake Tahoe, maybe it's worth it because it was pretty gorgeous being able to watch them with that scenery in the back. So when you can do it like that, I think that there's maybe a need for it. But like the stadium series games, I kind of get a little bit bored of that. I think that's kind of a gimmick that's been overplayed a bit. But it definitely looked pretty cool playing in Lake Tahoe once they, of course, got all their stuff figured out and they were able to actually play the games.
Right. See, if they can do that there at Lake Tahoe with the scenery that. Think about Lake Louise or Banff and Whistler.
Oh, exactly. So, yeah, doing it on top of a mountain or something, you know, like there's so many possibilities for that kind of thing. That's so much better than just doing it at a stadium.
But the thing is, like right now they could do this because they have no fans, so they can get away with it. Where
exactly, yeah.
Where the point behind it to get more fans, right? So, like, the Bomber Field holds, like, 33,000 people. That's, like, double the size of, like, the MTS Center and, like, so...
For sure, yeah. I've never actually gone to an outdoor game before, but I can't imagine I ever would, just because I don't know, you're so far away from the rink, you know, like, it's like your seating's so different. I think it's a made for TV sort of event. You're going to get a better, you know, it's better entertainment to watch it on TV, especially like we saw on the weekend with Lake Tahoe, than I think it is to be there watching it. But that's it. I've never been there before, so maybe it is a lot of fun.
Why, the two that Jess were in, I went to.
Yeah.
And, like, they were great. Like, the one here in 2016, we had the alumni game with the older players, and that's like Solani, Halichek, Gretzky, you name it. It's like, it's kind of like reliving my childhood and watching those guys play, right?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I think the old timers, that's always the best part of the weekend, is when you get to watch the old timers game.
Yeah. So, but the one in Regina, they didn't have the old timer game. They had the WHL game instead, outdoors,
right,
between the Pats and the Hitmen. So I took that in, and like, it's a little different.
So yeah, no kidding. That would be a little bit different, yeah.
Yeah, so like, okay, I was like, okay, how would it be different from the WHL to the NHL? The WHL never got like 15,000 fans. Like, that's like way more than normal. Usually they get like 7,000-8,000, so it kind of like double what they used to.
Oh yeah, I'm sure for them it was pretty cool. Yeah, to have that many more fans, definitely.
So, like, I kind of see like okay, why did they pick Calgary? They could have picked like another Saskatchewan junior team, right?
Right.
So I was like, okay, whatever. I don't make that decision.
Yeah.
Make it like in a preferential game when you have it outdoors.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know some singers, they go and they reproduce a different song, kind of like Africa and Tonto.
Yeah.
Gizzard covered it.
Yeah.
What do you think about those kind of songs?
What do I think when they do that?
Yeah.
I think it's cool, but I've always liked, you know, cover bands, because going to the bar at, you know, a local pub and hearing music you like, I mean, it's obviously familiar sounding, so it's good. So when I hear another band cover, you know, a popular song, especially like that Weezer one, I think it's cool. I think it's a cool little nod to the original artist, and obviously that's a song that people like and people want to hear again. I think that you could, if there's sometimes where bands will sway away a little bit too much, put their own spin on it, and then I don't know, then the song sounds different anyway, so why do you even bother, you know what I mean? If you're gonna cover a song, you might as well cover it the way people like it. I'm not a big Nickelback fan at all, but they covered Devil Went Down to Georgia and it was pretty sweet. So like, there's some things that some bands can do, I think, that that can come across pretty good.
Nickelback paid a tribute to ZZ Top,
and yeah,
they did Soft Draft Man. They did good on that.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got some covers, like, even going back in history, where maybe the cover is even better. Like, an example of that would be like Guns N' Roses' "Live and Let Die." I find that better than the Paul McCartney version. So I mean, so you know, sometimes it can work out in your favor too for the bands that are covering them.
Why? Paul McCartney is more like bluesy type, where it's like rock, right? So I was like,
exactly, yeah.
So it's different, right?
See, I mean, it's like, it's the same song though, right? It sounds the same and everything. It's just a Guns N' Roses version of it, and it's, you know, harder rock, like you said, and whatever. But yeah, it's, that's an example of one that it probably is even more popular than the original.
What about "I Love Rock and Roll"? Britney Spears' face, Joan Jett.
You know what? I don't know the Britney Spears one too well. The Joan Jett one I'm very familiar with. What's the word? It's kind of like a classic song, right? Like, everybody knows the words. It's a sing-alongable song. So it doesn't surprise me that a pop star like Britney Spears kind of did it, but there's not too much there to that song to kind of even get me pumped up, even for the original.
And you play a lot of video games when you're younger, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And who is the most powerful video game character?
The most powerful video game character?
Yeah.
Let's see here. There were, like, man, I don't know. It kind of depends. I was a big fan of Link from all the Zelda movies, the Zelda games.
Yeah.
In fact, my fiance just pulled out the old N64. She dusted it off the other day, and we had hooked it up to the TV, and it was fun to just replay an old game like that. Was even a lot of fun because there was so much stuff that you could do with that game that I totally forgot about. But I'd say he was pretty. He was probably my favorite. I don't know what most powerful. He was definitely my favorite video game character when I was a kid.
It's like probably Bowser. Probably want to be the top guy.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess if you look at all the bad guys, right, bad they're guys, probably right. A little bit more powerful.
Like, you can't probably make good guys face villains, right? So I was like,
right,
they have their own version on their powerful guys. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so you probably can go and rank 1 to 10, and you probably have something different from
yeah.
the person, right?
for sure, exactly.
So. Who's your favorite character to race in Mario Kart?
I was always a Diddy Kong. That was always one I chose right off the bat. I would, in fact, rush to get Diddy Kong right away, 'cause I feel a lot of people... well, actually, maybe I just tell myself this, but Diddy Kong is so small, so you figure that he's, like, really light. He's got to be really fast in that car, you know? You don't want to choose somebody, like, that's, you know, like a little, like, bigger, because, come on, that's going to slow them down when they're in that car. So, in my mind, it was always choose the smallest guy, and that was usually always Diddy Kong.
That's, I think that for sure in Mario Kart 8, you can choose your own Mii character. Would you choose your own character, or just go with Diddy?
I've never thought of that before. I'd probably still stick with the classics. I think me and Diddy Kong have a pretty good relationship. He's not gonna let me down.
So, would you throw the blue shell at anyone if you have a chance?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's I battled my brothers in it. It's like my one brother, he was in third place, and it, me and my other brother was 1-2. And he's complaining about it.
Yeah.
How come you guys always finish 1-2? He's like, hey, someone has to be the shell guy. Someone just take the hits.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, exactly. We've got to take all the abuse from the rest of us.
So someone has to protect us.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the Habs season so far?
Well, it's kind of a tale of two seasons so far. I mean, they started off, they looked like they were going to be unbeatable. They looked like they were one of the best teams for sure in the division, if not the league. And it's like they kind of forgot over the last few weeks here how to score goals. And it's starting to concern me a little bit. They started off so hot, you know, they were averaging 4 goals a game and everything. And they really slowed down now in the last couple of games. Their power play is just horrendous. I think they're like 1 for 18 or something in their last bunch of games. So I'm still holding out hope that they can get back to what they were, because I think when they were on, I mean, besides Toronto, there wasn't a lot of teams that could compete against them. You know, I think it's tough because the season's still young, but at the same time, it's a shortened season, so you can't really wait too much longer to kind of get to yourselves on a roll again. So you kind of got to figure it out soon. But the Habs have one of those lineups that, I mean, they've always been known to kind of beat you with speed, and I think that's still the case. And their back end, I think, is really strong, their defense, but they just got to be able to put the puck in the net a little bit more on a more consistent basis, and that's kind of what's hurting them right now.
Did they beat the Senators in their last game?
Last night they lost to the Senators, and it was just an absolutely terribly slow, boring game. It was awful.
What do you think about the Montreal's blue jersey?
I hate it. I hate it. Montreal Canadiens should never be blue. That is a Toronto Maple Leafs thing. I hate the Leafs. Habs should never have that much blue on their jersey, so I hate it.
Yeah. Reminds me too much of Toronto.
Exactly.
So, what do you think about chili dogs?
Love sucking on a good old chili dog from yeah, John Mellencamp's song, Sucking on Chili Dogs. That's, if you've ever, You want to hear just a great line from a song, listen to Jack and Diane, and there's a great line where he's saying, "Suck it on, chili dogs." And me and my co-host, we absolutely love that line.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I'm seeing on your Instagram page there, and I saw, it's kind of funny about chili dogs. And I'm like, oh. So when you go to the Jet games, you order a hot dog with chili?
Hey, the more you can load up that hot dog with absolutely everything, the better that dog is.
Yeah. So, there's two games coming up for the Jets against the Habs. Are you going to be a Habs guy or Jets?
You know, it's whenever the Jets play the Habs, I still root for the Habs because that's still always been my team. You know, like dating back to childhood, there was no Jets when I got into hockey, so the Habs were always my team. It's hard to just throw away that allegiance. So even when it is Habs versus Jets, I'm still a Habs fan. So it's going to be fun here because, yeah, there's two games this week, and then they play again next week, I think, a couple of Saturday night games. So it's going to be fun to watch those teams play because I think the Jets are just getting better. And as of right now, Montreal is getting a little bit worse. So it should be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, so Jets are catching, playing them on their skid right now, so they probably
that's right, exactly. The Jets are, yeah, they're meeting them at the right time for sure.
So, and then the Moose are playing the Rockets this week too.
Yeah, you know what, I haven't really kept up to date too much with the Moose. It's kind of hard when you don't have them on TV or you don't you know, you're not in the arena or anything like that, but obviously it's good that the AHL was able to get something figured out and get them playing, because the AHL is all about you know, developmental. It's a developmental league for your prospects and stuff, right? So the more that they can get those guys playing games and less just, you know, practicing on the taxi squad or whatever, the better it is. But you know, I don't think there's going to be a playoffs or anything this year, they said, for the AHL, so it's just going to be really just focused on playing games and getting better.
And starting next month, the Moose are going to play the Iceplex.
Yes, that's right, actually. I didn't realize that. Yeah, but I guess just scheduling reasons and stuff like that, they're going to be shipped over there, eh?
Yeah, that'd be something different. So.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I guess it doesn't really won't really bother them too much. There's no fans or anything anyways, but it'll be different playing in that barn for sure.
And that's the thing is, like, the penalty box is usually across from the benches. There is in between the benches.
Oh, is that right? Oh, I didn't realize that.
So that means that bench a little bit longer, and if you're hopping off the bench, you can put your teammate offside.
Oh, that's funny.
So
that's a new wrinkle for them.
I know. So I'm kind of thinking, like, okay, are they going to fix that and move the penalty box across?
Yeah.
Or are they going to leave it and...
You just got to keep that in mind when you're getting out of the box.
Yeah, and say... Like, and are hopping off the bench and like so.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You just wait until your teammate crosses the blue line first before you hop on and.
Hop on, yeah. And you build everything for sure.
Okay, thanks for coming on, Dave.
Absolutely, Don. My pleasure. Whenever you need me, I will be back.
Yeah, be kind and we rind.
All right. Thanks a lot, Don. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Front Row Podcast. Download the show on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Contact us on Twitter or Instagram at @PodcastFrontRow and join in the conversation. Catch us next time on the Front Row Podcast.